Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We are packed out there today. It's beautiful. It is great to be here today on this special Sunday. We're thankful to everyone who is listening to us this morning. It is beautiful. Wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving, as that's just around the corner here and will sneak up on us. For business, we have the Thomaston Christmas Committee gifts. If you have them, if you've taken one of those slips, please get it back here next week. We will be open for business, so we're hoping everyone will show up here. We'll be all cleaned and spiffy, and we'll clean everywhere. Places we haven't even cleaned in years will be spiffy, so come on back. We have a board meeting coming up this Tuesday. That'll be at 7 o'clock here. It will not be Zoom. It'll be live. And we will be having a quarterly coming up on the 12th. Remind everybody, as we enjoy Thanksgiving, to please donate to our banquet of blessings. There's plenty of people around town and some in our church who could use some of the food that you do donate. It is very much appreciated. Women's Ministries will be gathering Tuesday, December 7th. That'll be here before we know it. Does anyone have anything they wanted to add or anything that I missed here? No? Okay then, well let's stand for our introit. In our call to worship. Come, O Holy Spirit, come as holy fire and burn in us. Come as holy wind and cleanse us within. Come as holy light and lead us in the darkness. Come as holy truth and dispel our ignorance. Come as holy power and enable our weakness. Come, O holy life, and dwell in us. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us, until we are set free from the service of ourselves, to be a servant in the world. Amen.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we love you. We bless you. May you be glorified in this time of worship today. We open up our hearts and our minds to receive all that you have, that our life would glorify you each and every day, that our worship, our singing, our listening, our responding, O Lord. Be blessed and be honored. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. Even now, as we pray the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's readings come both from the New Testament, and we start in the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 29 through 35. I'll be reading in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us! It's almost evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening up the scriptures to us? That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Our next lesson is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 37 through 47. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Take a moment and come before our Heavenly Father with our prayers. Abba, Father, we come to you with much today, much on our hearts and our minds, but you invite us to come, to ask, to pray. So we come with our joys and sorrows, with burdens and broken places, with sadness and excitement, knowing that you are present in this place and in each home where those are listening this morning or this afternoon. We know that you see all, everything about our lives, O God, and we can trust you. Come to us now in these moments as we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. You are sovereign. You are King. You are Lord. You are Almighty God, the one and only God. In this transition time for the Covenant Church, we pray that you would give us peace and faith and abundant hope. We want your plans fulfilled, your will to be done. Pray that you would bless the pastors and the leaders of the church. Stir up your fire in each and every one. Bring a unity like never before for the ministry, for the work together. Pray your blessing upon this special church family, O God. Bless them with joy, with your loving presence, both young and old and everyone in between. You are so good. And Holy Spirit, continue to fill each and every one of us. May there be more of Jesus each and every day in us and less of ourselves. And Lord, we need your healing touch. We ask for your healing to be upon each and every one. There are many names on our hearts and minds, but I lift these up for Liz Montambo. We pray your healing for Daryl Bishop, for Cynthia Doyle with cancer. All who are sick or recovering from COVID, I bind each and every one to the work of the cross, to the blood of Christ, his body broken, to his wounds, his stripes. By them we are healed. We claim that for each and every one of us, O Lord. O Lord, give us thankful hearts, especially as we anticipate Thanksgiving this week. Be with individuals and families. We pray for peace to abound and thankfulness to be expressed to one another, to you, Almighty God. Prepare all of us for Advent and then celebrating the birth of Christ and on into 2022. Oh, Lord. Know that you are with us. I pray for that special prayer request. Someone's in their home right now listening, or in this place, or listening on earbuds walking around outside. And they are searching. They are uncertain. Lord, I pray that you would touch their heart, their mind right now in Jesus' name. Many have questions or concerns. Pray that you'd be so mightily present that they would see you, Jesus, that you would show up. And oh Lord, we ask that you would be with each and every one in the days ahead. Lord, it's hard not to be able to be with the church family to say goodbye in an appropriate way. We pray that might happen someday. The church family. They've been such a blessing to Lisa and I and our family. Just bless them indeed abundantly. Can't wait to see what God is going to do in this place in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. N.T. Wright compares the two disciples on the road to Emmaus to people who have gotten up early to watch the sunrise, but they're looking in the wrong direction. They're gazing west and not east. He said this, they're like people on a hillside watching eagerly for the sunrise. Disoriented, they're facing the wrong way. The expected moment comes and goes and nothing happens. Then they become aware that though the sky they are scanning remains dark, light seems to be shining anyway. With a strange excitement, they turn around to see the sun shining in full strength in the very place they least expected it. Well, the day that Luke describes in chapter 24 is the day of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. One of the questions Luke is posing to his listeners and readers is, when Jesus shows up, will you see him? Do you see him? We know that on the road, a little bit before what Lisa had read, Jesus had corrected the two travelers for not understanding or not knowing who he was. He said, oh, foolish men and slow to heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Verse 25. You know, they were already devastated. And they said, you know, they crucified him, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it's the third day. We know when our eyes are cloudy with tears, when we are numb and maybe sinking beneath the weight of sadness or loss or tragedy, do we recognize Jesus? Well, Jesus' gentle rebuke for their not knowing how it was supposed to all go down is a reminder to us to pay attention to what God is doing in the world. And all around us, every day he's working. Also to pay attention to who Jesus is, who he's called us to be, and how we stay attentive to it. Well, no matter what led these two travelers to go to Emmaus, there was obviously something powerful happening back in Jerusalem because Jesus was risen. But they didn't bother to stick around. And yet Jesus approached them on the road, traveled with them. He opened the scriptures, sharing the prophecies about Messiah. He does the same thing that night in the upper room. He opens up the scriptures to share all the prophecies about Messiah. Well, as they're traveling, then they arrive at Emmaus. And Middle Eastern hospitality requires that they ask Jesus to come and join them for a meal so that nobody is traveling alone. So they sit down to eat. And Jesus goes quickly from table guest to host at a meal that would forever transform these men. Verse 30, when he was at table with them, he took bread, he gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road, and he opened the scriptures to us? Wow, is that your experience? Is that mine? Do not our hearts burn within us when we gather to hear God's word and when the scriptures are being opened to us? Do not our hearts burn within us when we break bread together at the Lord's table? And do not our hearts burn within us as we see Jesus in each other at fellowship time or meals or eating in someone's home, in small group gatherings or on service projects or here in worship? Do not our hearts burn within us when we realize we're not alone on the road? We have the Lord. We have brothers and sisters, traveling companions. Do not our hearts burn within us when we truly recognize Jesus through an encounter with him? Maybe we weren't even looking for him. We didn't even recognize him. And he came, the resurrected Lord, offering his broken body, his poured out blood for our new life. He came in and he lit a fire in our hearts, rekindled our passion, made us excited about something again. Jesus will give us renewed purpose and vision. He will give us a godly devotion like none other. Only he can do that. Jesus offered us hope when we were grasping at straws. Do our hearts burn within us? You know, this was the reality of the early church in its infancy, but also in its greatest innocence. Such a purity and innocence about the early church, those new believers. You know, the 50 days between Resurrection Sunday and Pentecost in Acts 2 prepared the believers to see many more hearts burning within because of their devotion, their dedication, their commitment to the Lord, to one another, and to the mission. In Acts 2, the phrase, "they devoted themselves," is one of the most inspiring and dynamic descriptions of the early church. They are the first words ever written about the church. They are a springboard for them to launch into a new direction, to take a huge step forward and radically change the way people see things and how they serve and how they worship God. The Greek word for devoted is proskartereo. Don't try and spell that. Meaning to join, to adhere to be ready, to give attention to be faithful, to be devoted to spend much time together, and be fully committed to. You know, what in your life gets that kind of attention and dedication? Well, for some, it is work. For some, it's reading every novel they can get their hands on. Some love to play games, video games, or it's sports or hobbies. Binge-watching drama series. For many, it's school or it's family. Does our heart burn within us for the Lord in regards to these activities? I hope so. And maybe it does often, but when it's not, then maybe we need to adjust our lives. The first century church had a devotion to the things of God. All by themselves, just the things of God. Well, we'd say, well, they didn't have a whole lot of other things. Oh, they could certainly find other things to do. But something touched their hearts and their minds. They wanted to learn more about Jesus. They were hungry for the word of God. They couldn't get enough. Everyone was filled with awe and wonder as signs, miracles were done. They had a deep desire to please God and to meet together and seek his will. And there was such a desire within each and every one of them to tell people about Jesus and to continue the work that the Holy Spirit had inspired them with. They were in awe of God. A holy fear fell upon them as they were developing this devotedness only to him. Well, they devoted themselves to specific practices, spiritual disciplines, and a few other things. First, they were diligent. They were constant in adhering to the preaching of the word. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. It was about the word of God, the Holy Scriptures. And they never disowned or deserted the word of God. And by baptism, just being baptized, all those that were baptized, they had to start being discipled. That's the way it was. When believers are baptized, then the discipleship begins. I guess in some practices, there may be training for a year or two before one is baptized, but baptism is connected to being discipled, and they were willing to be taught the word of God and other spiritual practices. Secondly, they continued in fellowship, 42, koinonia, spending time daily with, it says in verse 46, with one mind unified in the temple. They were just together all the time, praying, worshiping, communicating, conversation. You know, birds of a feather, what? They flock together, right? And three, they continually devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. You can't get enough of the Lord's Supper. Doing it monthly makes it very special. They devoted themselves to celebrating and remembering their master's death. They were not ashamed of their own relationship to and their dependence upon Christ and Him crucified. They could not forget the death of Christ. They made Holy Communion or Eucharist, Thanksgiving, their constant practice, because it was instituted by Jesus to be spread throughout the generations of the church. Do this in remembrance of me. They broke bread together from house to house. I mean, that's an amazing picture of house churches popping up everywhere. As it was in the beginning, the early church, so it will be in these last days. There will be house churches popping up as an extension of the church as well. For they continued constant, devoted in prayers. After the Holy Spirit was poured out, as well as before the Spirit was poured out, while they were waiting for Him, they all were together, and they were devoted to prayer. Each and every one was devoted to prayer. Every day, praying, waiting upon the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit, hearts burning within. They were prayer dependent. May each of our hearts burn within us for this kind of prayer life. And five, they had all things in common. They ate together, common meals. People showed up with various things, some little, some a lot. Well, you know, they came together just to share together. You know, you can picture a cheerful group, very generous in what they had. At verse 45, they basically raised funds for charity. They sold their possessions and property and gave the money to anyone who was in need. Basically, God owned them, and they were glad for it. Verse 43, many wonders and signs and miracles were done by the apostles, which confirms what they were taught. What Jesus even said, greater things you will do. It proved it was from God. But the Lord giving them power to work miracles was not all He did for them. He added to the church daily those who were being saved, verse 47. The word from their mouth did wonders, and God blessed their efforts. The increase of number of believers. It is God's work to add souls to the church, isn't it? In verse 43, the people all around were influenced by it. They could see something special. They may not have been believers yet, but they could see something special in this group, in that early church. Fear came upon every person, a sense of awe. God was clearly with them, and God was clearly working through them, and certainly their hearts were burning within. And for all to see, it was a family whose hearts were blazing. Imagine, if you will, these newborn babes in Christ. They had just received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and within each and every one of them was such a hunger for the things of God. And they devoted themselves to Him, to doing His will. What a difference that would make to the growth, the health, the reputation of Christ's church today. To have believers who adopt the same hunger and love for the things of God, just like the early church. As the Bible says in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. A growing family whose hearts are blazing. Final song, you may be familiar with it, Go Light Your World. It fits perfectly with the early church and their experience with the risen Christ. They could see Him always before them. They recognized Him, and He was with them, and there was always something or someone in need. It's true for us as well, because we are the Lord's. We are always available to lend a helping hand, a a smile, give a compliment, give our time, our talents, a listening ear, offering prayer, compassion, help to anyone, a family member whose heart is blazing, sharing the good news, sharing our testimony, our experience. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Our hearts burn within. We carry a flame of the Spirit, which cannot be hidden or ever be defeated. So like a candle from and for the Lord, this is God's purpose for us every day. Our last song is that call to carry your candle, that which the Lord has burned by his Spirit into your very soul. And let me just read the first stanza of the song. There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a Spirit who brings fire, ignites a candle, and makes his home. Amen.
Father God, we come before you this morning. We give you all thanks and praise for all that you do in our lives. We are so blessed, and we take so much of it for granted. We'll be gathering this week as families to give thanks for everything, but we give it to you, Father, today. It is for you the reason we're here. Father, we just praise you and thank you for the ability to work and make money and give back, that we get to share with each other, and we get to be your light in this world here, Father. We just praise you and thank you this day, and we give you this day, Father. Amen.
There is a candle in every soul.
Amen. Before the benediction, kind of a different way of saying goodbye to a church family, and there's only a few here today, but understandable. And there's been opportunities in other ways, but Lisa and I love you and we'll miss you. And you know, maybe there'll be an opportunity to have a real send-off, but we're not asking for that, but we would welcome it. So, love you, gonna miss you, and it's been a special place for us here. We'll now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.